If you would turn to Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to take a look at some scriptures in there. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to go down to verse 25. This is easy, okay, this is easy here. So here's the scripture, husbands, love your wives, okay, so that's easy, right? But there's more to it, there's a little bit more to it. So the next thing we are told by Jesus himself, as Christ loved the church. Oh, that's an extra dimension to it, isn't it? It's okay, we can love our wives, but now as Christ loved the church. Okay, you think, okay, I think I can do this. Okay, but now, what else he says here? This is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. And he gave himself for it. Okay. Right rolled into this is husbands to give themselves for their wives. Give. This is the supernatural. We cannot do this on our own. We have to be having Christ live in us, because Christ is the one who purchased the church. He gave himself completely for the church. He didn't just walk around teaching, helping, healing. He gave himself for the church. And the word gave right here is the exact same word as when he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. He gave himself right there. He delivered himself up to his torturers, his mockers, and eventually, as the Lamb of God, he gave himself up to be crucified. So, having said all of that, now we look back at it and we're going to pray for a moment. Husbands, love your wives. We think this is fairly easy. But as Christ loved the church, oh, that's a bit more difficult. And then the clincher is, and gave himself for her. So Christ purchased us. So let's pray. Father, we're overawed by what your son did for us, that he gave himself up. He could easily have said, I'm not going to do this. I'm suffering. It's terrible. He could have actually got down off the cross, but he did not. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he died for us. And he also rose from the dead. We thank you that because of your son, he also made available to us the Holy Spirit living in us forever. And we thank you, Father, because only supernaturally can we love in the way that we should. As we see, husbands are to love our wives as Jesus himself loves the church and also gave himself for it. So have those words set in our minds, Father, and help us to move forward. Take this in. Think about it. We thank you that your son was willing to offer himself for us. What an amazing gift. We also think, Father in heaven, of the fact that our wives are also gifts to us. We also recognize that the church itself is being made pure by you, but it's also being made pure by our actions. The way that we live as husbands and wives changes us from the inside out. So please help us today as we look at this wonderful passage and we study it, but most of all, take it in and take action on it. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 5. It's an incredible text. And we're going to take a look at that whole scripture. So it's also for singles as well. This is a sermon not just for the husbands, it's also for the wives, it's also for those who are single, because as members of the body of Christ, we're also being shaped, we're also being cleansed, we're also being made pure. And that's what we're talking about as well, the supernatural love. So let's take a look at the whole book of Ephesians, just for a moment. We have to remember the book of Ephesians is like a work of art, and it's like a tapestry. The closest thing I can think of is a tapestry, and I've never seen how they make a tapestry, but I know that they must have wefts or lines all the way through it, and then on top of that, they also put the image that they want to actually describe. So this book is full of the subject of the love of God, and it's also full of the subject of Unity. If you look at the first chapters of the book of Ephesians, he's talking about love and unity. So all through the book, this is being woven in. Love and unity. So, just a summary of the whole message today. Husbands and wives are equal before God. And that's from Galatians 3. They're equal. There is no difference in our salvation level. We are equal before. Husbands and wives are complementarian, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submitting to one another. We have to notice this is the early part of the chapter. Husbands have sacrificial responsibility as head of household to love their wife, and it's to glorify God. We are here not just for our own pleasure. We are here to glorify God. And this is for singles as well. We're focused on marriage, but we are all submitted to Christ, all of us. And the beauty of it is that when we submit ourselves to Christ, not far ahead, there is a huge reward. Just like when Jesus went to the cross, for the joy set before him, endured the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of God the Father. So he knew it. It was going to happen. There was going to be a reward. So I see we have many seasoned, lifelong, happy marriages here, but we can all improve, right? As I wrote this, I said, yeah, there's some things I can improve on. Yes. So we're not going to have the time to look at all the detail of the whole passage here, but we're going to focus on husbands love your wives. And so my message too is that I was not a good husband in my first marriage, and my poor first wife, Rita, died of cancer. In the years before that, I was beginning to be transformed. But before that, I was a typical, I'm afraid, selfish, isolationist, shut down, stubborn guy. And it did not work out very well in marriage, I can assure you. But now we have a new covenant relationship with him, don't we? We are, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So we discovered that, didn't we? Back in 94 or 95, I think we realized that we are born again. We never thought of it before, but we are. We're born again. The old has passed away, the new has come. And God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, see Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, I was dead in many ways. First of all, spiritually, before I came to Christ, but I was also dead in marriage as well, which was terrible. Even when we were dead in our wrongdoings, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So we are saved by grace. So if you have not accepted, submitted your life to Christ, if you have not, this is the time to think about it. Because when Christ comes into us, he shows the best way to go. He shows us the way to go. We live a new life. And if we have a poor marriage, now is the time to think of this text. Husbands, love your wives. We can improve. So I'm going to show a few examples of what's called submission, because submission is a major part of this. But again, the word submission, very much used in very many places, is part of the way that God orders the universe. Everything is in an order, a practical order that works. So Paul, he submitted his life to go to prison. He said it's for the Gentiles. He's a prime example of giving. And we also see, don't we, Jesus, who gave a sacrificial love for the church. Many of you know in some cultures that the husband has to go and buy his wife from, maybe from the father or from somebody. He has to go buy his wife. That's what Jesus did for us. He went and purchased us. And now we are already espoused to him, but we will later be completely married to him when we rise from the dead. So again, let's take a look at some of these words in here. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. We're going to focus on, and we're going to start reading some of the words here. So, husbands, love your wives. By the way, you're only allowed one at a time. It says wives in here, but only one at a time. Okay, so let's not get that one mixed up. So, as love your wives. Now, the word for love is agape. That's the supernatural love. It's not phileo. It's not eros, although phileo and eros should be in there. Agape is supernatural. It's not something that we do ordinarily. It's going to be a sacrificing love. And he, as we see here, he gave himself up for her. Imagine that. And he still has the marks of his nail, of the nails, on his wrist to remind us how much he paid for us. How much? He went down on his hands and knees to save us. But when he couldn't carry the cross, he was crawling along the ground. He served the disciples washing their feet. What more could we expect? But then God is telling us we have to be prepared to do the same thing. He made them holy and he cleansed them. And he was in complete loving submission. Submission is a big word. Jesus was in submission to God the Father. You think, wait a minute, this is God. Why did he have to be in submission to the Father? And that's because the triune acts in one, in complete unity. He did everything the Father wanted him to do. So his act of submission is one we have to remember when we talk about submitting to each other. So while we were yet sinners, while we were really lousy people, he died for us. So, the next few words in verse 26, we should read this as well right now, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. So that is the complete text. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Let's keep all of those words in mind. Again, Jesus submitted to the cross for our sake, that he might present the church to himself with in splendor and glory, without spot or wrinkle. So he already, Jesus was already the honorable groom. So he's making us, isn't he, into the spotless bride. That's what he's doing. And he's preparing us. Now, as a husband, we are also to help with that. It's the Holy Spirit in the person who will do it, yes, but we are to help with that. We must not get in the way of God's wanting to make his church a spotless bride. So, in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. So, the beauty of this is that we, as humans, are going to become the bride of Christ. We're going to be completely clean, and there's going to be a big ceremony when we are brought to Jesus Christ as the bride. He's the honorable groom, and we will be the spotless bride. Whenever I read this about wrinkles, I always tell people, I've been wearing these wrinkle-free shirts for years, and I'm still getting wrinkles. I just don't understand it. But we can see that the word wrinkle is not literal here. It's talking about how the church is going to become pure without blemish. Yes, we have aging spots, don't we? And we know what this is like when we get older. But the point is that Christ is going to make us completely pure. So now what we're going to do is we're going to go further back in the book to chapter 5, and we're going to read verse 22. Actually, we're going to start with verse 20. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm using the English Standard Version, by the way, because it's helpful in a part of this we'll see later. Now, verse 21 starts a long sentence, and it goes right through verse 23. Now, for some reason, translators separate out verse 22, but it's actually all part of the flow of the message. So, we see in verse 21, submitting to one another, out of reverence for Christ. Wives, the word there is still, but it's submitting to your husbands. But it's all part of our submission to Jesus Christ, and it's all part of our submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's what this is about. And wives, and the translators choose to put the word submit separately, but it's all part of the flow of verse 21 through 23. Submitting to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior. So we see how this works. It's Jesus Christ, it's the church, it is the man and the woman. Now, we have equal salvation, but we have different roles. And this is the way the universe is. The universe is made in an orderly fashion. A little illustration of this from chemistry. We probably don't think about this, but we have 78% of our air is nitrogen. But it's not one single atom of nitrogen. It's actually two atoms joined together into one molecule that is still nitrogen. So it's like, that's the way we should be. We should be so well joined together that we function as one, but we're still separate atoms. We're still separate. And it's the same way in some ways that the Trinity is too, because as we know in chemistry, you can have three atoms that are all joined together by their electrons, and you look at it and it's one. It's one molecule, but it's three separate atoms within it. In the same way, we, husband and wife, are separate within the molecule, you might say, called the married couple. We're still unique personalities within it, working together, you might say, with the electrons that are flowing through us. And that's the way it should be. It's all to do with teamwork. And so often we think about submit as a rude word that is difficult and it offends a lot of people. And we say, no, we're talking about cooperation. We're talking about complementarianism. I talked to somebody recently who says, my wife is more intelligent than I am, and I better make sure I tune in, because she's going to help me on a lot of things, but she wants me to be the man of the house, the head of the household, to get the work done. And she relies on him, and he relies on her, because her intelligence is so important to getting the whole thing done. We're here to glorify Christ. We're not here to glorify self. And that's one of the problems that we have as men. So often, we're the head of household, she does what I tell her, but no, it's to do with the complementarian work of glorifying Christ himself. So, it was beautiful at the setup. Adam and Eve walked around. She didn't have to wear a bra. He didn't have to wear a tie. I mean, it's just the ultimate easy life they had then. But something went wrong. What was it that went wrong? Our world is still going wrong, isn't it? The ancient world was a mess. The Jewish, the Roman, and Greek world were not doing well when it came to how to understand marriage, how to portray marriage, how to live in a good marriage. None of them were doing it. And the problem today is that marriage is kind of disregarded completely. And people bail out even before you got the marriage off the runway. If you're a plane, you're going down the runway and there's two pilots. One says, I'm going to get off this runway. I'm going to get off that one runway. Well, it doesn't make any sense. There's a lot of bailout much too quickly. But God's magnificent creation, how could it go so wrong? Well, here's a little bit what happened. This is, of course, in Genesis 3. And we're not going to have time to go through all of it. The result of the sin of Adam and Eve, the result was death. But God withheld that, and he gave them something else they have to contend with. And these are the things. Genesis 3:16, if you want to look through there for that, please do. When God found them and talked to them, instead of their dying, because the wages of sin is death, they could have been executed right then. But that's not what God did. This is what he did. He had a curse on the man and a curse on the woman. The curse on the woman. To the woman, he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth. And now, we know that probably even before the sin of Eve, childbearing might have been painful, because it says multiply, but it was increased. I hasten to add that so many do give birth to children without monstrous pain and still without anesthetic. So we must not overdo this thing, but it's an important thing to see. But here's the next thing, Genesis 3:16. And the translation here is very helpful. It says, your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you. So the problem here is immediately we had king and queen self. They suddenly became selfish. They weren't serving each other. They weren't serving or glorifying God. They became self. And then she suddenly said, wait a minute, I don't have to do what he wants me to do. So that's the desire shall be contrary to your husband. And then the husband says, hey, I'm not putting up with this anymore. You are going to do it. So before long, you've got this awful antagonism between husband and wife, lack of cooperation. And he turns around and says, but I'm going to rule over you. So it became a complete disaster. Adam got a worse thing, though. In some ways, he got a worse thing. It's because you've listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. And we now know that about 25% of the world's population, 25%, it's one in four men or women as well, have a struggle just to get food on the table. And that's because of the curse of our sin. So constantly we are having to work just to keep up, especially right now when if you're working and you have to drive, you suddenly have the increased gas prices to deal with. Now there's a trap. The woman wants to take control and the husband becomes domineering. For the man, it's like a lifelong servitude and it makes it very difficult. Now, that was paradise lost. And now we've got paradise regained. So we want to have paradise regained. So this is change from the inside. We're going to be changed from the inside. When we enter the new covenant, God brings our marriage into a cooperative and complementary arrangement in which each partner, equal in value to God, works together to accomplish God's work of glorifying Him. So that's a lot to say, but you see, there it is. It's into a cooperative and complementary arrangement in which each partner, equal in value to God, works together as one. So there's the one from the beginning of the book, to accomplish God's work of glorifying Him. We're not here for ourselves. In God's perfect creation, submission to Him and submission in our relevant roles is essential. So my wife, Sandy, is not a pushover. I noticed that when we were dating. I said, I like this. I equate it somewhat like to playing a game of tennis. I would hit the ball hard over the net and she would hit it right back. And I said, oh, this is fun, you know. It's not just I say something and it's perfect. It gets a reply. It gets a conversation. So she responds intelligently, adjusting me when I need it. Yeah. So she's always accomplished that special work of patience when I fail, and quiet assurance to be a real man. This is the beauty of a good marriage, is each partner is so happy with the gender that they serve in. I am very happy to be a man. I don't want to be a woman. Thank you very much. And I say that carefully because I know it's a problem in our world at the moment. And I'm very sad for it. So, and I did feel like a failure in my first marriage because I was selfish. I earned my own debris, my own problems by being selfish. But now, because we're in the new covenant, the paradise has been regained in many ways. So now let's take a look at Jesus as the head of the church. Remember, Jesus walked the earth in submission to his Father. And he also, when he was younger, he was in submission to his human parents. Think of that. You know, he was God, but when they told him what to do, he did it. He was in submission to his parents. Can we not be submissive to our own Creator, Jesus? Husbands, wives? Let's take a look a little bit further in the passage. So we see that the church is made one in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 is talking about the oneness of the body of Christ. We are all equal before Christ. Galatians 3:28, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither male nor female, neither slave nor free. We are all one before Christ. And there's also children are equal before God as well. And when it comes to glorifying his name, the child is equal in salvation as well. So there's no superior or inferior part of the man and wife. Terrible misunderstanding on that one. Submission is not inferiority, it's the way that God's universe is ordered. The whole universe is held together by him. That's Colossians 1:7. And the very word submit in Greek means set in order. So, men, and we're going to talk about men now for a few minutes, and we're going to go back and read the passage a bit more. We are a new creation, made holy by Jesus. So, let's act like it. Let's act like a new creation. Don't just read it, but we need to act like a new creation. We are to give sacrificial love. And it may take a time to do some of these things. If we're not used to doing it, it may take a while. You know, if your wife is not used to you being a little bit more soft and gentle and everything, it may take a while. She may say, hey, what do you think you're up to? You know, so it's unfortunately a part of life when we make a change that they have not seen us change before. But the biggest illustration of how we can make a change for ourselves and others is like the wind and the sun. The wind and the sun decided they were going to have a competition. They saw a man in the distance and he had a jacket on. So the wind and the sun said, I'm going to get that jacket off. Okay, you just watch me. So the first thing that happens, the wind says, I'm going to do it. Don't worry. So here we go. So goes up to 30 miles an hour, goes up to 40, goes up to 50. What does the man do? He grabs that coat like that and he leaves it on. So the sun says, yeah, just watch this. It may take more time. It may take more time, but just watch this. So it goes up to 70 degrees and it's still quite comfortable. And then he says, okay, turn it up a bit. Goes up to 80 and he kind of undoes a button. And then he puts it up to 100. And the guy says, I don't need this jacket anymore. So the difference in the way that we behave is rather than being a wind, a nuisance, a commander, let's use the heat of our love and our warmth, right? Because that'll work better. Your wife may be surprised if you're not doing this on a regular basis, but it will work, absolutely. It may take a lifetime, but we have to think of this as well, that Jesus laid down his life for the church so that we could be with him forever. Are we prepared to lay down our lives for our wife so that they can be with us forever as well? Because maybe your wife is not a believer. Maybe she hasn't given her life to Christ. So you have to be using that warmth and that love, and it may take a long time. And there are those who just refuse to give in and accept it. But our job is to carry on. We see in 1 Peter 3, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. 1 Peter 3:7, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. So their salvation is equal, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, if you do not treat with your wife in an understanding way, the sentence here is saying, you know what? Your prayers are going nowhere. If you can't live with your wife in an understanding way, showing honor to her, then why should I listen to your prayers? It's a big, big deal. So listening is something I didn't like to do because I always felt like it was corrective, and it should have been because I needed correction. But now listening is a little different. Now it's more fun. The problem with men is we got in this trap of work, 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 and we're always doing things, always doing, doing. And we're in this trap of it's partly because of the curse on Adam in the first place, that with the sweat of your brow, you will earn your living. So we're trapped into that. So we have to listen. We may have to not do that particular job that you want to do at that moment because your wife needs something to say to you. And you think, this is not convenient at all. So then you go back to the passage, submit to you. You go, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. You say, okay, I get it. If you can give it up, after all, he came down from the beautiful, beautiful throne and groveled amongst all of us in the dirt and the sin so that he could give his life for us. Shouldn't we be prepared to do the same thing for our wives? So, another tip, an understanding way, don't be overbearing, impatient, or curt. I can be all of those things at the same time, and it comes across with tone of voice. Isaiah 40, verse 2, God says he speaks tenderly to Israel. Tenderly. When you have time with your wife, do this. Deuteronomy 11, verses 18 through 25. Don't have time to read all of those verses. You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul. Look into God's word daily. I am going to read a little bit of this because it's really a delight. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house and when you are walking in by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall write them on your refrigerator. No, it says doorpost, but I think refrigerator is a good... Write them on the refrigerator of your house and on your gates. So, in other words, when we are with our wife, we spend time with her reading and listening and praying with her. And we have to remember, too, that love your wives as Christ loves the church. And we have to remember, as we get older, we do look a little fatigued, don't we? We don't look quite the same, but we when every appealing characteristic and person is, you are still to love them. And that is a command. So we have to be willing to be wrong and be willing to be told that they are wrong. That's the keys. We live in the grace of Christ. So we have to remember that. This is what I remember. And growing up with my daughter Elizabeth, they never quite conveyed it as well as it should have been, is that adults can be wrong, parents can be wrong, but we need to be able to show that we're living in the grace of God. We need to be able to confess those things to our family. Say, you know, I didn't do very well on this. I got mad and I shouldn't have done. But we need to be able to do this, be willing to be told that we're wrong. Pray for her and with her. There's nothing like listening to your wife's prayers because you find out a lot about what's going on in her mind. That's how Sandy and I got to know each other now 26 years ago because we were praying in the same prayer room. And she would pray something as I just tune in to what her outlook was. And the same thing for me. So we got to know each other very well. And one other thing very important to say is be romantic. Be romantic. I'm going to read you Jeremiah 31. This is what it says in verse 3. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be built, O virgin Israel. Again, you shall adorn yourself with tambourines and shall go forth in the dance of the merrymakers. It's very romantic. One of our first dates together, where somebody said, you should go to Bellamia, the restaurant downtown. And I said, okay. So it turned out that we had a table in the backyard, and everything was absolutely perfect. And I remember the sun going down in the distance, and I said, oh, yes. Yes, 33% of the Bible is poetry, and that's loving talk, and that's what God does. So, husbands, be submissive to God. Assure your wife of her relationship with you as one, as companion, as sister, as complement, as one who is submissive to you in glorifying God. We're here to glorify God, not to boss people around. That's our job, is to glorify him. Help her when she's depressed. Do we get depressed? Does she get depressed? Yes, we do. We don't know sometimes even why these things are triggered, but we have to do that. And be concerned for her health. Protect her. Now, Women. So we got the men. What we have to do. It's a big job. Be submissive to Christ because he is the head of my household. Now, it says in here, we saw that earlier, didn't we? In Ephesians chapter 5, it's all part of the flow. The flow of this chapter. Verse 21 of chapter 5. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submitting to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior. If the husband does this right as a believer, the wife really does not have a big conflict. The whole business of paradise lost is now become paradise regained. Now, what do we do when things are not perfect? That's a long, detailed discussion we'd have to have there. But in the meantime, we have to remember, first of all, submission is not becoming a doormat. It also does not mean that we stop thinking as a wife. And it does also not mean that we agree with everything our husband thinks or says, because it may be different. But it does mean allowing the man to be the head of the household, to have the ultimate responsibility for what happens as we glorify God together. Submission is an inward attitude. And it's an interesting thing. I remember working in teams at my job, and often we'd have these team discussions, and the boss would decide something that had to be done, and one of the people in the group didn't like it. So sure enough, you've got passive aggression going on. They may have done exactly what the boss said, but they didn't like it. And behind the scenes, inwardly, they didn't like it. And then the purpose of the team didn't get accomplished. So it's a problem when that happens. So I'm going to now take a quick look at the end of this chapter here, chapter 5. I'm going to read the rest of it. Verse 28, in the same way, Ephesians chapter 5, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. Now that is a big responsibility. You cannot call this selfishness at all. He who loves his wife loves himself. And if we are careful with this, we have a much better life. We really do. It's a much better life. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. See, that's what we are to do, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And then we talked about the two nitrogen atoms becoming one molecule, as nitrogen. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This works beautifully when we let God do it in our lives. When we don't, we have trouble. And again, when we have a non-believing, unbelieving spouse, we're going to have to put extra supernatural love in there. It does not give us the opportunity to bow out and say, she's not a believer, I don't have to do this. You have to do it more, in fact. The more that we, as the son, warm up the surroundings, the more relaxed that wife of yours or that husband will become. 1 Peter 3 talks about it's the behavior of the husband or wife that makes a huge difference and actually wins them. You could actually, by patiently loving carefully your unbelieving husband or wife, you could actually get them to the point where they say, wow, I do believe that God exists and I am going to give my life to him. It's a salvation work that we have as well. And Christ has the salvation work of presenting the church to himself, washing her, cleansing her, sanctifying her. So, in conclusion, we have to think to ourselves, where am I today? How well am I doing on this scale, you know, where I'm loving but really not doing much, or loving as Christ loves? Where am I? And if I'm not far enough along, you have to say, wait a minute, let me go home, let me pray, and let me ask God to change me. So, As a husband, we say, are we a Christ-modeled, Christ-centered husband? If not, we have to repent of it. We do. We have to repent of our selfishness. The action item on this is repentance, if we need to. So, let's glorify God for what he has done in creating marriage. So let me conclude by also saying, husbands and wives are equal before God. Husbands and wives are complementary and submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Husbands have a sacrificial responsibility as head of household to love their wife and glorify God. Wives are to submit to their husbands to glorify God. And for singles, we are all submitted to Christ for his glory as well. So let's pray. Father, we are so amazed at the delight, the love that you have filled us with because of you, because of your Son. What a sacrifice. What an amazing willingness to change us, deliver us from the fate of our own sin, to forgive us, to bring us to you forever as your Son's bride. Thank you, Father. Please help us to remember this. Please help to take action where we are failing. Please help us to call upon your supernatural love when we run dry. Help us to call on your supernatural love to order our homes in a way that glorifies you. Thank you, Father, so much for your great and wonderful love, especially for your Son, Jesus, in his name. Amen.